Hey, everybody, on this episode of Box Office Breakdown, the box office goes higher, further, faster than ever before. Captain Marvel takes number one. We're going to break all that down and more next.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's Box Office Breakdown.
Hey, everybody, welcome to Box Office Breakdown, the show that looks back at the box office that was, and then we...
Prague.
Beautiful.
That's different. I like
it. Yeah. Lots of us that lie ahead. I'm almost tempted just to end the show now because there's a very kind compliment that Amy Cassandra Martinez gave me, and I feel like there's no way that the show's going to get better from here. Yeah. It's only going to go downhill.
Pretty much.
Yeah. You give me more rope, I will hang myself with this.
Oh, gosh, no. I love your intros. They're fantastic.
Right. Yeah. But I'm Frank Moran.
What's up? Carrie Lane here.
I'm Amy Cassandra Martinez.
And, of course, making us look good and sound every better. Sound even better. See? It was too late. We went too far.
I'm sorry.
No! Brianna in the booth.
Hey, everybody.
Hi.
What's up?
And as always, folks, like us on Facebook. Give us those 5 stars on iTunes. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. Give it a thumbs up.
Or 2, or 3, or 4,
however you can fit right there. And we've got the chat running. So feel free to hop in and share your thoughts. And Carrie, if they're watching after we stream live, what can they do?
Yes, Frank, you all can comment down below.
Love it. So we will be diving into Captain Marvel, and we will give you an indication. We're going to get spoiler heavy with this film, because we're going to talk about it there. But once we get into the really spoiler in-depth things, we're going to call on Bree to kind of really do some lights and some cool color changes here so you know when we're getting into spoilers and when we're getting out of spoilers to get into the rest of the show.
So you can put it on mute and then fast forward to when the lights change.
That's right. There you go.
Visual cue.
So, in fact, you know, why we even, we'll just say overall, we'll get into this week's top five.
Yeah.
Captain Marvel, number one.
Woo!
You know, I nailed it. I nailed it, guys.
Gosh.
Right there on my box office bet. It made $153 million.
Yay.
It's also the subject of this week's box office bet. So, some really cool, really close numbers. It was very... very tight race.
Oh, sweet. Yeah.
Right.
Nail biter, sure.
Our winner for it there is Carrie Lane with $142 million. Then we have Bree at $137.3. I'm always a fan of the .3s. Amy at $100 million straight up.
Uh-huh.
And then me, very, very close behind. So close at $85 million.
I would like to point out, though, that this is not necessarily what I wanted, is what I thought, and I'm glad I thought wrong.
Yes.
There you go. I'm not, because I lost. No, I've seen this movie twice. So
same.
There you go.
Nice.
Okay.
So there you go. I double dipped on my box office bet commitment. So I feel like that gives me a pass for my next loss.
That's what I was going to say. Me too.
Yeah, well, but I didn't need to.
But all right. I didn't lose that bad.
Carrie, if you've only seen it once, then I feel like you've let us down. How many times have you seen it?
I've only seen it once.
You've let us down.
Very rarely do I go back and see a movie in theaters more than once.
Wow.
Generally, I'll go back if like a friend hasn't seen it. But
what is the last film you've ever seen in a movie theater that you've gone to want to see it again?
Excluding a friend.
Yep.
But I haven't, so no.
You've never in your entire life?
I saw the first Harry Potter more than once.
All right.
Yes.
Okay, it's been a while. It's been a while.
And I saw one of the Star Wars, but again, saw it with a friend. I have not myself been like, I liked it so much, I'm going back.
Interesting.
No.
Okay.
I'll watch it maybe later. Again, like on like DVD or Netflix or something.
Right. All right. Brianna, did you see it as well?
I did not. I didn't get to the movies at all this week, and I had a lot going on.
All right. Well, please excuse yourself for the rest of the show.
Okay.
You've let us down.
I will just walk away. The shot will just be on the wide for the rest of the show. When you're going to end, I guess just walk out of the studio.
We were talking before. I thought you had seen it.
No, I didn't get a chance, but I'm going to see it this week. I just have it. I had a lot of construction going on in my room.
I might have pseudo-spoiled it, but not really.
That's okay. I'm fine with spoilers.
Okay.
All right.
Well, we were talking about something, which we'll get to. And it wasn't necessarily, but because if you're of a like mind, which I think you are, you probably pick up on it the same. So we'll
chat. So before we hop into spoilers, just overall, if somebody's tuning in and they haven't watched it, Amy, Carrie, what did you think of the film? Just yes, high notes, low notes, and then we'll get into spoilers after that.
Wait, did we say how much it made?
Yeah, $153 million.
Okay, just wanted to point that out again. yes, I really, 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 really liked it. I thought it was really fun, really different, not your average Marvel movie. They really, 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 really hit it on the nail, on the head, whatever the heck that term is, with the music. The music was fantastic. the characters as a whole were pretty great. Yeah, I was concerned that people were not going to go see it. And just because, you know, there was a lot of like, well, I don't want to see it because it's just like a woman. Blah, blah, blah. So I'm really glad that people went to go see it. Whether or not I agree with what they thought about the movie, that's a whole different story. But I was really, really happy with it. And the fact that I saw it twice, I think that also kind of speaks volumes.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Did you go with different people each time?
No.
Okay. No, that's what says it too. Because like,
I had gotten tickets for a fan event thing. Mm-hmm. And then they were like, hey, screening. And I was like, hey, okay. So.
Cool.
I definitely liked it. I think something that's weird that I've been hearing is people complaining, saying, well, it's not perfect. Like, they like it, but they go, it's not perfect. And I go, well, hit the brakes. When is a movie's qualification? Well, it's not perfect. Because something could be perfect for me or you, and then not somebody else. So that's such a weird qualifier. And I've heard it at a bunch of places, too. It's not just, like, one person said it. I think it is a different style, which I think that's wonderful that all the different Marvel movies have different vibes. Why should they all be the same? Each comic has a different feel. The movie should have a different feel. I think one of the complaints, and I liked how somebody on Twitter said it, and I go, oh, that makes sense. Some of the people like not liking her and feeling that she's bland because she doesn't, you know, whatever. One of the reasons there's no real love interest, so she's not like fighting for a guy or flirting with a guy. I'm like, oh yeah, that's a good point. Didn't bother me, didn't care.
Yeah.
And then also that I'm like, dude, she smiles in it. I love the smile for me part in the movie. Oh, that made me so happy what she does though. I'm like, yes. Because I was like, yay. And her, you know, she's funny. She's a funny person. And so it's not that she's a character that's stone cold, like, I'm not a happy person. And she's a warrior. She is trained.
Noble warrior. Here.
As, like, I'm a warrior and we mean business. So she shouldn't necessarily be this flirtatious, friendly, smiley, girly girl. It's like, did you watch the beginning? She's a warrior. So I don't get that complaint. Be like, really? That's what you're complaining about? I do like, in the chat, where'd it go? Somebody was saying, GBS 1300, somewhere man babies are crying into their man pillows, essentially. And I think it's so funny when people get all upset about it. And not every movie is for you. Not every movie is for me. It's like, that's the great thing about movies. There's so many, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's been such a weird climate of it. And to bash a movie, I think it should almost be a rule. You can't bash a movie until after you've seen it.
Yes.
You can't talk about it until you've seen it. Mm-hmm. Like, what? No. We can definitely speculate ahead of time on trailers, which we've done. We're like, wait a minute, what does that imply? But how many times have trailers misled you as an audience member? So it's like, eh. So wrapping it all up in a bow, I thought it was super fun. I like the action. I love the humor in it. A lot more humor than I like that people said that. I'm like, yeah, there's a lot of humor in it. The action was great. The 90s nostalgia was fun. I think there's going to be a lot of people that might not get some of the humor in terms of nostalgia references. I worked at a Blockbuster, so I loved it. Not in the 90s, though, but it was kind of cool of Blockbuster. I think, Amy, you mentioned it, because Frank, I think you asked the de-aging. I don't think that looked weird at all. It didn't bother me the way I think in Ant-Man, that one has like a longer sequence and that didn't look as good.
Mm-hmm.
But this one is fine. And I think Brie Larson and Samuel Jackson were hilarious together. Definitely worth checking out, for sure. And it makes me more excited for Endgame, because I don't think I was super pumped for Endgame, but now I'm like, oh, we have this other player, and I like all this stuff, and what's going to happen now?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Nice. My long-winded
thing. No, we're going to be getting into this, so, yes.
Just because I was getting ready, because I was like kind of scrolling through tweets, because that's the best kind of broad spectrum of what people are thinking about a movie. Yeah. And it's a deep, scary dive. And some of it's fun, and some of it, I do enjoy seeing what some complaints are. And then generally, if you're more specific with your complaint, it makes your complaint valid. Like if you said the pacing was bad, I could maybe go, oh, okay, I kind of see that. Didn't bother me, kind of a thing. Or if you go the acting bad, I'm like, well, do you not like her acting because she's like this or because she's not what you wanted? You know, so
right.
Just saying.
Nice.
Yes.
Well, I guess we should just hop into some hot spoilers.
Oh, going. So, yes. Sorry,
spoiler alert.
So yes, Gary.
The person in the chat was saying it was a He-Man pillow. Spoiler not quoting them correctly. And then, yes, love how many people are in the chat and enthusiastic and everything.
Enthusiastic?
Fantastic.
Good.
So
we'll do it in the spoilers because it's a moment that I'll say something that's funny that happened in my theater.
There you go. So, yes, we've got the nice little color backdrop. We are officially in spoiler zone territory. So once you see the colors kind of fade back into its original, that means it's safe to start listening again if you have not seen Captain Marvel and you don't want any spoilers. That being said, let's get into some spoilers, everybody.
So let's do it. I was going to say comedic relief to start. The part where they're looking at the alien body autopsy, there's a little girl behind me who didn't get why that was humorous and that was funny. I didn't get to hear how her mom explained it to her. Because she's like, why'd they do that?
Aww,
it's like, oh. Anyway, that was a funny real life thing, but yes.
I think for the de-aging, I thought Sam Jackson's was fantastic.
Yes.
Great to watch that. I thought the Clark Gregg one was not as strong.
Yes, okay, so the first time that you see it.
Yeah.
The first.
Well, he doesn't talk much. But so that made it weird.
Yeah, but it also he had more of a mannequin-y type face.
Yes.
It took me longer to get into it. And then when we see that part where he's actually a Skrull, I'm like, yeah, it's because you look funky. But I mean, technically, they're supposed to look exactly the same.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it kind of got me like, well, that makes sense. You are a Skrull. But yeah, that one was one thing where I was like, And so then the fact that it was mostly focused on just Samuel L. Jackson, you know, his de-aging, I was like, okay, cool.
Yeah, he looked fantastic. I did like, though, the beat there in the stairwell between Coulson and Fury. Yes. That was just enough to give you the hint about, like, yes, you can see where this close friendship built and got its foundations for. I enjoyed the movie. It was fun. It was a fun watch. There was a couple just, like, little bits that I, like, with Brie Larson's performance, I thought it was great, but I also was like, certainly she's a Kree warrior and they've been trying to keep their emotions in check.
Yeah.
But I never quite felt like at the end of the movie, if you were to tell me like she still doesn't quite have her memories, I could totally buy that.
Yeah.
Because you never really see her feel like, I never got that moment where you could see her kind of make that switch to like, oh yeah, I know more about myself rather than people have told me who I am.
Yeah.
And I have just these little fracture bits.
This is like the first step in it though, that I feel like, That's the next beat after what we've seen. We won't see that moment, but because it's a lot of information to digest and comprehend. So it makes sense that it's not all like, I get it. Mm-hmm. It all is in place now.
It's not like a switch kind of thing. So it would be gradual. Mm-hmm. And I think that makes it harder for people to really see her as someone that's, you know, emotional. And even when, you know, she has that whole revolution of like, no, I am me. I can be free. I've had my hand tied behind my back this whole time, and the little like thing right here comes off. Like that whole evolution, that's everything. She just really learns to embrace her power. It's not so much about like, oh, well, yeah, these last 6 years I've just been controlled and let me remember everything of what my life was like before. That's not her focus, I don't think, at that time.
But I don't know if we're ever going to get to see that because now we're going to see her present day. So that's essentially 20 some odd years that have passed since then. So, I mean, you feel like you could have her be that character now and just feel like during that time that you didn't see her, she got it all together.
I know some people were bringing up a point of, did it feel kind of rushed? The fact that, you know, we have Endgame just next month and we got Captain Marvel this month and you're supposed to, you know, for people that don't really know the comics, it's like, hi, this is a person right here and she's going to be here. And it's like you're all of a sudden supposed to really feel connected to her and like root for her and know that she'll somehow really, you know, help the Avengers defeat Thanos. Like, but it's a lot. I get it.
True. I mean, I think that was, they were well served by putting it a little after credits scene of her quickly being right there.
So I didn't like her hair in that moment.
Her face.
I didn't like how she looked. I'm like,
no, her face though. It looked plastic. It looked fake. Weird.
Yeah.
Her eyebrows looked great, but I was like, it looks off. It's like pasted on.
So again, with like her, those memories coming back.
Quick thing. John Harrison says Gal Gadot was way more emotional in Wonder Woman. But Wonder Woman, they're not telling her, keep your emotions in check. You're not allowed to be emotional constantly at the beginning of the movie. It's all, can't have emotion. That's your enemy, blah, 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 blah. Which, that's my one thing that I go, well, is it casting or acting? Because I didn't trust Jude Law the whole time.
Jude Law's eyes from the trailer, I was like, are you good? Are you bad?
That didn't bother
me. It was just something about him.
Yeah.
But the way that the movie starts, you're like, oh, okay, cool. Mm-hmm. So you guys are on the same team. And then stuff starts happening and you're like, oh, okay, you're not. Yeah. What? You're bad. Okay. I don't really like that people are comparing, you know, Captain Marvel with Alita Battle Angel and Wonder Woman. Like, Captain Marvel is completely different from all of them. Can we just analyze Captain Marvel for who she is? Sure, base it off of the comics. Well, in the comics she did this, and now she's doing this. Okay, that's cool. Mm-hmm. But these are two completely different women, and it really irks me that people are doing that.
Yeah.
So, enough of that.
Well, I mean, and certainly having her memory be erased is kind of cooked into Carol Danvers' backstory. Mm-hmm. And so it was interesting to see how they took it from the comics and then interpreted it, extrapolated it, and showed it in the film. Mm-hmm. It was a nice little way of doing that. The one little bit that I thought that I would have liked to have seen a little bit more of just her, at Carol Danvers, the original Carol Danvers, and there is at the end of the film with her and Sam Jackson. They're in the kitchen. She gives him the pager.
Oh, that was a
and
nice
he starts
scene.
Singing to her.
Yeah.
And we've already seen throughout the film several times that she loves singing with Maria.
Yeah.
So I was like,
Monica, the mom.
Maria.
Monica's
the daughter.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Really?
Yep. Monica's the daughter.
Oh.
Because we're going to see her beat Photon later on.
I always get so confused. And I thought I memorized right. Okay, cool.
But I would have loved just that little extra beat at the end of that scene. Because when she says like, oh, I don't know that song. If you keep singing to it, maybe it'll come to me. That she was just playing him for that moment.
She was.
And then she would start singing it with him. Because you've seen in the film.
That's true.
That's just like, for me, I would like, just a little extra bit of just like,
we're seeing more of her. She's different, though. She's different now after everything that she's been through.
But she's also still the same per about reconnecting with her human self. And like
But
somebody singing is a joyful expression of your humanity.
Oh, I totally get it.
Yeah. So that's just me as a personal thing. That's like, that seemed like a nice little extra 30 seconds you could have buttoned out that scene with.
Yeah.
And it would have just filled that in a little bit better.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I did like the turn with the Skrulls. I did like that.
I like that switch.
Yes,
see, that's
that
one
really
we're
nice.
Casting because Ben Mendelsohn is normally a bad guy. So that was a fun, like, nice.
That was so good.
Yeah.
So emotional.
Mm-hmm.
All of the families coming together, him and his character. He acted his face off.
Oh, he did a really great job.
Yeah. It was amazing. Yeah. So good. And the fact that there was so much emotion, even through his eyes.
And all the
you're
prosthetics
feeling
and everything.
Everything.
Yes.
Yeah, with the Skrulls, that I was just like, good job. This is great, and they're endearing, and you're rooting for them. But then you're also like, wow, so these Kree really, like, messed everything up.
Yeah. This is a point we kind of talked about. Someone in the chat, JRMEATXC. I like that there was no love, sexual relationship driving the plot in this. Maybe that's why people are saying it was less emotional. I've definitely heard that people are... They're not saying that directly, but that's essentially what they're meaning of that she's not emotional because there wasn't a love interest, something. I thought it was perfectly fine that we don't have it. Like, why is that required as a plot device?
No, and I don't think emotion can only come through romantic
that
relationships.
Too. Exactly.
It can come through from friendship, familiar
Maria.
Relations.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, Maria and Carol. That friendship was beautiful to see that. And then even Lashana Lynch, in that moment where she's telling Carol, Carol says, you know, it must be hard, I know, hearing all of this. And she's like, hard? No. And then she goes into it, you know, like, talking about that day. I was even the second time watching it, I was like, I already know what you're going to say, but holy moly, I'm feeling it so much more this time.
Yeah. And then also, I'd argue that's also directing. It's not just her acting, because somebody had to watch that and go, yes, I liked what you did, and didn't direct them to go otherwise. So... it always seems to fall the blame on the actor of like, oh, their acting sucked. They still had a director go, yes, I liked what you did, we're moving on, and didn't suggest to them to do it differently. So it's like, no, director approved. And so that's, and it's the thing of this pedestal that they put Captain Marvel on of, it needs to be perfect and amazing because it's a big first female. There are, someone's pointing out, Elektra too. But it's the first big one in a while.
In the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. But how many bad male superhero movies are there, but they still get to keep making them? And that's not to diss the male ones, too. I love those as well. But that doesn't mean, like, just because this one doesn't do as perfect or as amazing as everybody wanted it to be, doesn't mean we shouldn't get more anyways. Joelle, who was a host here, and she made a good point. She's like, people are complaining, and they sat through Thor 1 and 2 before Ragnarok. So it's like, hey, wait a minute, maybe like it's, you know, getting its base going, and then what can it become?
Yeah.
Which I was like, that's a good point too.
There were certain moments too where just one-liners were like, yes. Yes. They really, really, I think...
Oh, I don't owe you anything. I wanted to clap. I was like, yes! Yes! My theater was pretty small and quiet, so I didn't really get very vocal on that.
Why not,
that,
Carrie?
I know, I would have wanted to, but I clapped inside. I was like, yes! It made me so happy.
There was a moment, Annette Bening says, it's cute how hard you're trying.
Mm.
Oh, and you know, it's those lines that you're like, that's been told to me so many freaking times. That those are the moments where you're like, yes, Carol, get it. And that's, I think, what makes the movie more powerful for some people.
I'm bummed on that. I mean, you get the little nod when she starts communing with the Supreme Intelligence.
Yeah.
The little kind of like little tendrils.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I wish at some point we would have seen the giant green head that you see in the comics. Like, just give us that. Uh-huh. Just give us that nerd moment. And I will say, I don't know how I feel about using big name care actors in really small roles. Like, I feel like, like Robert Redford in Captain America Winter Soldier. Great. You bring in a high profile character, and he's got a nice little meaty part. Not huge, but it still has some moments.
Yeah.
I felt like Annette Bening was kind of just like, if you're going to cast Annette Bening, I feel like I'm expecting to see more from her. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be more screen time, but at least just more meat. And I just felt like I didn't really get much out of that. So I almost kind of wish that they wouldn't cast, because I feel like it sets up my expectations to want more out of that.
But do you... admire her already because you know who she is, and then you almost have that same association as the character. Mm. You know? Because then it is somebody you already know and admire, or you like their work enough that you go, oh, cool. But if it was nobody, it would be a little bit more neutral.
I guess, I mean, there's one thing to cast against expectation, like Ben Mendelsohn. Because you're setting him up, and you're like, all right, you can do a nice twist, but you already kind of set up based on his previous roles.
Yeah.
But I feel like Annette Bening, I mean, that's just...
Okay.
Either way, I mean, you felt like you could add anybody in that role, and it still would have just been as serviceable.
I liked it. I felt the meatiness was when they're going into her memories, into her brain, and they're like, no, replay that. No, now look down. No, do this. I love that, and the fact that they were just playing it over and over. And then just seeing how Carol, well, at the time, Veers, is like really trying to figure out who she is and all of that. I thought that's where we got the meat.
Kind of rewind when you said the line. So Brie was asked in an interview if the smile for me was added kind of after people had been like, she's not smiling on the posters and blah, blah. They're like, nope, that was already there. And the question on like make you smile, like my question to anybody who says that, do you ever say it to someone of the same sex? Probably not.
Yeah.
So that kind of answers your question right there of if it's weird. Because it's like, I don't go to Amy and go, Amy, smile for me. It's like, no. And then, or you, Frank. It's like, no. And it can come from a place of genuine, I see you're upset and I want to help and make you happier. But then that almost disregards being upset.
Yeah. Like, so, you feel however you want. If you want to smile, if you don't.
Yes.
Doesn't matter.
That's a much more loaded a thing. But yes.
Also, Goose.
Yes.
Did not see that coming.
Yes.
I knew the whole Flurkin thing, but holy moly, that really grossed me out. And then I was like, oh. So I went home to my cat, Spielberg, and I was like, are you? He was like, I'm not going to say.
I am of two minds. I mean, I like Goose.
But yeah.
I'm still trying to figure out.
Do you like that they changed the name too?
Okay. Oh, that's fine. Yeah. I'm still trying to figure out how I feel about Nick Fury getting it, and that's how he loses his eye.
Because, I agree.
Because part of me feels like it's almost like Han Solo, where it's like, this is his big movie, so we got to throw in all these. This is the movie where we see all of Nick Fury's things come right here. Like, did we have to have that?
We didn't have to.
I still don't know. I feel like I would have been fine with Nick Fury still having, you know, both eyes at the end of this movie, and you're leaving it to however he lost his eye. You never have to answer that question. I thought it was funny how
into cats he was. That was a little weird, but it was comedic, you know?
Yeah. There were a few moments where I was like, okay, slow down with the cheese. I don't need that. But I think as a whole, especially going in, I didn't know what to expect. And I left the first time being like, whoa. This was very 90s. This feels really different, and I like it when movies, especially in the same cinematic universe, feel so different. You know, Thor Ragnarok felt crazy different. People liked it. Yeah. People hated it. But this feels crazy different, too. And to be able to go back a second time and still be surprised at some of the stuff that I was feeling or, you know, different things that you see on the screen, that, I think, makes a really good movie.
I almost likened it how to Venom was a different vibe, too.
No, that's a whole
thing, too.
I love the song.
But, like, it was just...
No.
But,
no.
you know, Don't you dare talk badly about other superhero movies and things, and not comparing them that they're the same kind of movie. No, no, but just how it's a different feel from other ones. And how that's okay. Like, it's okay to do that.
And sometimes you just want to hop in a lobster tank, guys. Sometimes you just want to do that.
That's all right. Right. Anyway, we still have other movies to cover. Yes. And then
One last thing I want to say. And going along with Nick Fury losing his eye.
Yeah.
I still don't. I think it was a little too cute to have the scene where he's doing the Protector Initiative. Oh, wait. Oh, it's Carol Avenger Danvers. And I'm going to change it to that.
It's like spoon-fed. I don't like that.
That one I didn't like.
Yeah.
Because I felt like...
Fair.
Because there's part of it, it's like she had already been talking with Maria about like how they never got her fly missions because it was always men and they had to try to do anything they could. So I felt like to have her call sign be Avenger, I felt like for somebody that was kind of pushed to the side, you can of course pick any call sign, but it seemed weird to have her call sign be something where she already isn't seeing a lot of action already. If you'd set it up like she had already been somebody that had seen a lot of combat.
Yeah.
The Avenger name might make a call sign a little more sense, but for somebody that was so marginalized, it felt weird. And then, so that's how you're going to tie it in? I don't know.
I agree. That is a little bit spoon fed.
Ratings for all of us out of 5?
Out of 5? I'm seeing it a second time and I still enjoy the beats and all that stuff. I'd give it a 4.
Yeah,
I agree. Yeah. 4. Like, it's definitely a good, solid, entertaining film.
Yeah.
And fit in the world enough that I was enjoyed.
And it's always nice to always go back, lastly, for, like, the technology. There's a scene where they're trying to load the black box audio.
Oh my gosh. Going to Radio Shack made me so happy. Yes. I'm like, I bet so many kids are going to be like, what? What's the big deal about Radio Shack?
Like 25, 27 years ago, and it's like, holy cow, yeah. All right. Yep. Yep, that was it. Wait, what's going on?
I really love that. Yeah.
So we will go back to the normal screen colors. Yes. We'll get out. Oh.
Whoa. We're back.
Fun time at Spoiler Town, everybody.
Two post-credit scenes in case people are hopping back in. There's two post-credit scenes. The very last one, is it really worth it? It's funny, but it's not necessarily as worth it. But still, may as well stay.
Stay the whole time.
I guess.
Yeah. Stay until they kick you out.
You know, but it's one of those things where you stay for the first time that if you go see the movie again, then it's like, I only stayed for the first
one.
Like,
I stayed the whole time, the second time. I'm dedicated.
Yeah. Get out of here.
No.
Okay.
I won't. I stay.
All right. So we've got other films in our top 5. Yes. Coming in at number 2, How to Train Your Dragon, The Hidden World, made another $14.6 million. Tyler Perry, A Madea Family Funeral. Woo, baby. Woo. Another $12 million. The Lego Movie 2, the second part, made another $3.8 million. And then Alita Battle Angel. I'll show you just how low we're getting just on the top 5. $3.2 million.
Oh, wow. So, it's a weird time.
Frank, I asked you before, and you kind of knew. But if you want to say it, then if you thought, do you know what the Alita Challenge is?
I've seen a little bit where they're saying taking that in comparison to the Captain Marvel movie.
Yes, essentially. Yes. They're saying boycott Captain Marvel, go see Battle Angel Alita.
Are you...
Right? Because I'm all, whoa, if you're all in support of Alita, where were you the weeks ago when it came out?
Yeah.
And if you want to boycott Captain Marvel, you're welcome to, but go see Alita when it first came out instead of hopping on the trendy bandwagon now. I saw it like opening day, so there's my stance on it because I was excited. I was opening weekend because I saw Happy Death Day too. But
so not that big
still,
of a fan.
I was excited.
Your money. Still
I saw my money went opening weekend, and so it's just weird that I'm glad they're supporting it, but it's such a weird, oh, we're gonna support it now. Well, then just don't go. Who cares? But a happy note on Alita. I got this in the Loot anime box, which I talked about on AfterBuzz anime reviews. So I was excited for that because I'm like, I like this movie too. And guess what? I like Captain Marvel too. They're both good movies. It was such a weird thing of scrolling through Twitter of like, what is this challenge?
I saw that too. Yeah. But I didn't know that's what it was called. So you guys, let's just watch movies.
Yes.
There you go.
Yes.
Let's just do it.
With that kind of mandate there, I did see also The Kid this weekend as well. That's a Western directed by Vincent D'Onofrio, starring Dean DeHaan, and Ethan Hawke, and Chris Pratt, your boy. Yes, so directed by, so it's Pat Garrett, Billy the Kid, but also they're kind of, you see like a young child kind of get swept up into their story. And this young child has got to try to decide the kind of man he's going to be, whether it's going to be somebody more like Billy the Kid or somebody more like Pat Garrett.
You know, that's actually, it's one of those titles that I thought we already had a movie called The Kid.
They're at, yeah, they're Charlie Chaplin had one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, back.
Well, I like this. Back to the Alita challenge. Thank you, chat. Michael G. Cox says 153 versus 3 million. Challenge rejected.
Yeah.
So,
I'm a sucker for a Western, which is why I wanted to go check this out. I feel like I enjoyed watching the movie.
Yeah.
But there's also, like, I feel like moments where I would have liked to have seen a little bit more deeper dive into Pat Garrett and Billy the Kid.
Mm.
It's because I feel like if you're going to do somebody where this other character has been entered into, you kind of drop them into their history,
mm-hmm.
That character has got to be really fleshed out and really well done and to make the audience invested in their life more so than, I want to know more about Pat Garrett and Billy the Kid.
Mm.
I don't think they quite nailed it with this kid, and maybe he's, 14 years old, so I don't know if it's fair to put that so much on him.
Mm-hmm.
But I just feel like I didn't really care much. I want to know less about this kid and more about Pat Garrett and Billy Kid, more about, deeper dive into their personalities.
And how wide a release was this, or where'd you?
I saw it at AMC.
Okay.
So, yeah. And then I went and saw Captain Marvel again.
Nice.
But you went to go see Captain Marvel at the AMC.
I did.
The fan event thing.
I did not go to the fan event. I was at the 7. You were at the 7 o'clock. I was at 7:30.
That's right.
Yeah.
There you go.
I was almost denied this because they didn't believe me that I didn't get one, and I fought for it. So
good.
Wow. There you go. It says fan event too. That's why I really wanted it.
Oh, so you left the theater and said, "Like, I did not get my coin yet."
Well, no, I went before because I saw people were getting them and they had already checked off my ticket thing. And they put like a yellow highlighter thing and I was like, oh, okay, whatever. And then I was like, wait, I want the coin. And they came back or they said, well, we marked it off. And I was like, no, but I didn't get one. And they looked at me and I was, guys, why would I lie? Why would I want two coins? I mean, I guess people could tell them, whatever. And I was like, no, I'm serious. And then they were like, and I was like, no, it's fine. Whatever. I'm going to go see Captain Marvel. And then the guy was like, well, come back after. So then I went back after. And I was debating whether or not to, because people would be like, calm down. It's just a freaking coin. Who cares?
No, still, it matters.
It's the principle. And then I saw it and I was like, yeah, I'm really glad I got this. It's cute.
Nice. And Amy's going to share on Twitter the link to the eBay listing that she has for that. So you guys can win that.
So beautiful.
Yes.
I haven't taken it out. That's how special it is.
Oh, my gosh. And it'll never leave that package.
Never.
Mm. There you go.
You know what you can do, though, is you get the plastic and push pin it to the wall. Large print that you do it through the plastic. So you're not image. I have a print that's too weird for a frame. Like, it's just wrong sizing. And so I just put the plastic and push pinned it on the wall. Because I wanted it up.
All right.
On the wall.
There you go.
Not just sitting
it down
in the
to your future children.
There you go.
It's a precious family heirloom now.
Hey, it
is. $5 million worth. Yes.
Did anybody else see any new movies other than Captain Marvel?
No, I was marathoning American Gods, so that season 2 premieres tonight, and I'm very excited for that.
Very nice.
But that's 8 hours of programming, so.
All right.
Eight plus.
I am starting to watch old Disney movies again.
Yay!
Just for fun.
Cool.
Bedknobs and Broomsticks.
That's a good one.
Okay.
It's a good Angela Lansbury. Live action and animation together.
Okay, because I'm just doing animation.
Well, there's animation
in
it.
Oh, what a snob.
I know. That's me.
Deep dive.
Real quick here, folks. International-wise, Captain Marvel has soared to an estimated $302 million at the international box office for her debut weekend. The worldwide launch total for the Flying Ace with the Supercharged Fist is $455 million. So look at that. Brie Larson's Carol Danvers reached the scores higher, further, and faster than pre-opening projections suggested.
Nice.
Yay.
There you go. It's now it's only 6 weeks, guys. 6 weeks before Avengers Endgame. Cannot wait. Wait for that.
I'm so scared.
But it is now the sixth highest global debut of all time and the second best for a superhero film and the biggest ever for March.
Mm.
There you go. Worldwide, Captain Marvel's numbers pushed the Marvel Cinematic Universe to a combined box office of just a measly $17.98 billion across 21 films.
I can't even comprehend that much money.
Yeah.
Disney made the smartest move in buying this.
Yes.
Buying Marvel.
Oh, actually, we didn't really talk about, real quick, that Stan Lee tribute at the beginning. Who cried? I totally was like, oh, it was so good.
All right, I have two minds about that. One, yes, that's cool.
Slight spoilers?
No, not really.
I guess. Slight spoilers. Yeah. I mean, yeah. Yeah, it's unexpected. I don't know many people really talking about that. Yeah. Anyway.
It was on Twitter.
They give a shout out to Stanley in the opening credits. So, no, that was cool. But then, pardon me, it's like...
Too soon?
Not too soon, but it's like, you know, thanks, Stan.
Capitalizing on it?
Not capitalizing on it, but I also feel like Stan and the other creators that are involved with these characters.
It's almost ignoring the other people?
Yeah, I mean, and certainly Stan Lee has done a lot of stuff for Marvel and these characters, but it's also like, you know, you had Jack Kirby, you had Steve Ditko, you had many other artists that were also responsible for these creations, and I feel like they, through all of this, they kind of, because they're all mostly passed away, and Stan is alive, and he is the face of this, so he naturally just ends up getting the bulk of the attention.
But if it's just for this one, because this is the most recent thereafter, and it's not necessarily on the others, then that might be a more...
It makes sense.
I mean, it is the first one after his passing, for sure.
Yeah.
So, yes, but it's also feel like... So, yeah, I appreciate that, but then there's also part of me that's like, but there's all these other artists that had a great hand in bringing these characters to life. We don't see... You know, like any photos of Jack Kirby or Steve Ditko, you know, at the drawing board or anything like that as well. Maybe, who knows? But in and of itself, it was still a nice moment to see Stan Lee get some acknowledgement.
Yeah.
The Mallrats thing, too.
There you go. Yeah. You see Kevin Smith's teary face.
Oh, yeah, it's on Twitter. Oh, he was
please,
so,
Kevin, don't post that photo, Kevin. That was not a good look. So, overseas, Captain Marvel is the fifth highest international opening weekend of all time and the second best superhero start there. And the largest chunk of Oscar totals came from China, where the film posted an estimated $89.3 million, the third best MCU opening weekend ever, behind Avengers Infinity War and Captain America Civil War.
Wow.
Yeah. So, folks, we're going to go rapid fire because we're getting close to the end of the show. But we've got three films vying for your box office bet this coming week. We've got Captive State from Focus Features on 2200 screens. We got John Goodman in that film. We've got 5 Feet Apart, a romance from Lionsgate on 2600 screens. And then we have Wonder Park, an animated film from Paramount on 3500 screens. Those are the three films, so start making your votes known in the chat, and we will do our box office bet in just a few minutes on the film that you in the chat decide. But before we'll do a rapid-fire box office rewind, there you go, on an actor in one of these upcoming films. That'll be Amy's favorite, Matthew Broderick. Life moves pretty fast. There you go. Thank you, Bree. Look around once in a while, you could miss it. So we'll do, we're going to do Matthew Broderick's top five opening box office weekends here. Coming in at number five is The Cable Guy from 1996 at $19.8 million.
Not Larry.
Opening box office money making.
Let's
overemphasize that because I'm all looking at that list going, wait a minute. But
Number four is The Stepford Wives from 2004.
Oh, I did like that one. That was a good one.
I really liked it when it came out. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen it since.
Number three is Inspector Gadget from 1999, $21.8 million.
Yes. It was fun.
Too
cheesy. No, it was so fun. No. If you watch the cartoon, that's kind of what it was like.
I know. I always had a little bit of issue with that. Yeah. It's like they always went just a little too far to make him bumbling. And you're like, come on, just get it together, dude. Number two, Tire Heist from Universal back in 2011, $24 million.
Didn't see that one.
For the cast that they assembled for it, you thought it would have been better.
What?
Mm-hmm. Bree, do you agree with that?
Yeah, it was underwhelming.
Yes.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah, you wanted it to be funnier, and you're just like, okay. And number one, Godzilla, the Sony version.
Yes, I did like it.
From 1998, $44 million.
I'm so sad that my two favorite films didn't make the list.
Ferris freaking Bueller.
Ferris Bueller and the producers are probably my two favorite Matthew Broderick films.
But they probably made more money afterwards as like cult hits, as like DVDs.
I have it's a pretty big size poster of Ferris Bueller's Day
Nice.
Off. It's like a big deal.
Yeah.
Well, but now you're going to be torn off, so there's a room for the Captain Marvel coin that you have now.
I mean,
sorry, Ferris Bueller.
There's space for both.
Yes. It's fine.
All right. So before we do our box office bet, let's do our top five, what we think our top five box office films will be next week. Again, we have Captive State, 5 Feet Apart, and Wonder Park entering the competition. Do you see any of them taking the number one spot, or do you see Captain Marvel still riding high?
Staying there.
I would agree.
Yeah.
Captain Marvel will stay.
I've heard of Wonder Park, and the fact that it's in 3,500 screens is pretty good. And it's animation. Looks cute. Yeah, kids want to see it, maybe. Yeah.
I guess. I don't know. I mean, I've seen the trailer.
It's kind of boring.
It's like the theme park adventure game you play.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
It's like you get to design your own theme park.
Oh, like...
Theme Park Tycoon?
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah. I remember O's in that, so I thought it was a zoo. But that doesn't make sense.
I think there's a zoo park. Tycoon, too. As well.
There probably is one.
Yes. There you go. Captain Marvel followed by Wonder...
All right.
Yes, Wonder Park.
I love it.
Followed by the dragon one, How to Train Your Dragon.
Okay.
That's three, right? Okay, yep. So then followed by 5 Feet Apart, followed by Tyler Perry's... Oops.
Medea.
Yeah. Is that all?
Oh, interesting. 1, 2, 3, 4. Do you see Captive State in there at all?
No.
Nope. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay, cool. All right. Carrie, do you see anything different?
Roller Coaster Tycoon. Thank you, Chad. There we go. I was like, there was one that sounded familiar. Captain Marvel definitely will stay number one. How to Train Your Dragon's been out for enough time that Wonder Park could do well of like the new family one.
Yeah.
But 5 Feet Apart, you know, people are sucker for those star-crossed lovers, fates against them kind of movies.
Yeah, Frank loves those.
But I think I'll go with Wonder Park for 2, 5 Feet Apart 3, How to Train Your Dragon 4, and let's be the curveball and put Captive State as 5. Though I think Captive State... that's a movie that I would totally normally be like, yes, but it kind of feels like it's part of something I haven't watched yet. So I feel like there's information, like it feels like it's part two of a movie or a series where you go, wait, am I supposed to watch something else? Did you get that vibe at all watching the trailer? It looked interesting though.
Well, I've never seen anything about
or that.
Really?
Vera Farmiga. Yeah. That already, I'm like, what? Machine Gun Kelly. But Kiki Layne.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
It's amazing.
It almost feels like the second film of The Purge when you blow out the world. Like, you would have seen the first
Purge. Yeah, I feel like it's the other thing.
And this is like the second film. You're like, you're blowing out the world.
Or it's the next one in Cloverfield. Like, you know, the aliens have done stuff. And then this is like the aftermath. Because I go, I want all the backstory. Anyway, we gotta...
Yeah, I will go... How to Train Your Dragon. I'll say Wonder Park. I'm gonna throw Captive State a bone. I feel like more people want to see a little something different.
Yeah, that's cool.
And then I'll do How to Train Your Dragon, and I guess I'll put... I'm going to say Medea. I don't think 5 Feet Apart is going to make it. That's just my thought.
Okay.
All right. Okay. So, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to do our box office bet here, rapid-fire fashion, on the film that you folks have chosen in the chat. You pick the film. We'll make our guesses on what we think the box office numbers will be. The person that's farthest away will have to go see that film and tell us all about it. All right, what so usually if our boy Ken say? Jack is in there.
Guys, what are we thinking, chat?
8 for Captive State.
Wow.
And
is that the winner?
Well, 5 Feet Apart. Ken Jack says 5 Feet Apart won the bet 4-1.
Wow, 5 Feet Apart.
Oh,
okay.
I get it. Oh, Star Drew was betting.
Oh, all right. I'm sorry. Okay. Thanks, Star Drew. Okay.
All right, everybody. 5 Feet Apart there. 2,600 screens from Lionsgate. All right. Everybody make your bets here. I'm writing down all our names. I'm going to say...
What are you going to say? That's not a number.
Say it's not a number?
People are pointing out Riverdale fans will be excited because it's an actor from Riverdale.
Who?
Okay. Sure.
I don't watch Riverdale.
I believe it's Cole Sprouse.
Thank you.
Oh, there we go.
Oh, that's right.
You're Jugheads, kids. You're Jugheads.
Yeah.
I literally saw a trailer or something for it this morning. I'd never heard of it before.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, shoot.
I know. I was like, all right. Okay. Yeah. All right. Brie, are you ready?
I guess.
Yeah. All right. I love it. Brie, what do you got?
I'm going to go really low because I haven't heard of like any of these.
I love it.
And I could be 100% wrong, but I'm going to say... 8.1.
Oh, 8.1. All right.
Okay.
Amy?
Okay, I say 9.
9? Carrie?
13.5. 13.5.
I'm so angry.
Getting a little nervous,
Frank. No, I'm so angry. I had a number, and then Bree, you got my head, And I changed my number.
We shared a moment, Frank.
We did.
Should
we
just, I changed my number too.
We should just say that we tied on it, and then if we lose, we both have to go.
All right, I'll be good with that.
We should have to go together if that's the case.
I had eight. I had nine. And then Bree's like, oh, I haven't seen this. I'm like, all right, I guess I'm a little lower. And then I went eight.
I had 13, and I went down to nine.
Oh, Bree, and your points. Your point ones. Your point threes. You got me.
I had 12, and I went to 13.
Anyway. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I'm sweating it out. Do not see whatever this dumb movie is.
If you lose, Frank, I will go see it with you.
Oh, Brie, that sounds like a date to me. I love it. I love it. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us here on Box Office Breakdown. As always, like us on Facebook. Give us those 5 stars on iTunes. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. And give it a thumbs up there, or two, or three, or four, however many you can do. And thanks, everybody, for hopping in the chat. But Carrie, if they're streaming, watch this after we stream live, what can they do?
Yes, you can comment down below, and I know we talked about a lot.
That's true. There you go. But if you want to stay, stay in touch with any of us, even after the show's over, Brie, where can they find you?
You guys can find me at Brie_Phipps on both Twitter and Instagram. That's Brie_PHIPPS.
My turn.
Sure.
Yep. Okay. You guys can find me on all social media at Amy Cassandra MTZ.
Nailed it.
Thank you.
Mm. Yes. And my name is Carrie Lane. You can find me online at Carrie D Lane. That's KARIDLANE. And tune in at 7 p.m. Pacific. That'll be our American Gods after show starting tonight.
Oh, delightful. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at HappyGoJackie. Folks, have a great week. Don't go see 5 Feet Apart.
Go see it.
No,
go see
don't it. Go see it. Go see but it. Go see, see it. Some movies, folks. We'll see you back here for another episode next Sunday night here, right here on Popcorn Talk. Bye, everybody.
See it.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.